Those of you who might be just visiting us, is this on? For those of you who might be just visiting us, we have been spending this year dealing with the concept of I serve. And we have divided the year into four parts. We talked about shaped to serve, born to serve, risking to serve, and then this quarter, saved to serve. I want to talk today about serving the Lord simply by rejoicing. Rejoicing is a step beyond being thankful. We need to go to the next step. Being thankful is good. It's all right, Rick, be thankful. But every now and then you ought to just throw back your head and rejoice. Cut loose. Lose that Anglican calm. Get ugly in the face. And just rejoice. Look at you, you're so pitiful. Rejoice. In developing this idea of save to serve, we've talked about the basic gift of life and how that if you are alive, you then are obligated to God. And talking about save to serve, we've talked about Rahab, we've talked about the lepers, we've talked about the woman with the issue of blood, and on as we have tried to develop this concept of save to serve. But you can just simply serve the Lord by rejoicing. By doing what? That can tell you still, you're not there. You're not there. See, to rejoice, you got to get loose, Trevor. Got to get loose. You can't just sit all poised like you're sitting down in church, just sitting all poised. And just rejoice, you got to raise your hands. You got to get loud. It's going to rejoice. Then be thankful, kind of like, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you. But rejoice. See, rejoice, you don't care where your hands go. If I rejoice, Hesky, and I'm next to you, you got to look out. Elbows, hands flying. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've never rejoiced. When my first son was born, I rejoiced. And it wasn't thankful to rejoice. I got so happy, I took pictures at my camera. At camera, I was going to take Brother William's camera, my first little son. So excited, I wound up taking pictures of my fingers. Fingers all up, all over the lens. Because when you rejoice, listen to me. When you're rejoicing, you're not thinking about what you're doing. You just don't worry about your hairdo. If your hat falls off in church, it don't bother you at all. You knocked your glasses off. Come on, somebody. Rejoice. Just rejoice. I got my first new car. I rejoiced. Little old red Corvair. Now, the young folk looked at each other and said, "Oh, what?" The old folk said, "That's a rear engine Chevy. Corvair. Little red Corvair." And they gave me the keys of that thing. I got a step. I was right there in the showroom. It was the keys of, hey, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I rejoiced. I wasn't just thankful, period. I rejoiced. My first new car. I'm talking about rejoicing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is there anything that ever makes you rejoice? Yeah. Let's talk about it for a few minutes. Bow your heads. Father, speak to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. In the Holy Scriptures, the word thanks and the word rejoice are sometimes treated like synonyms. In the Bible, we often give thanks by rejoicing. It's another form, Darnell, of giving thanks. It's the next step. Webster defines thanks in two ways. He says, first of all, and there are two definitions. It's a positive and a negative. The positive definition of thanks is simply to show appreciation or gratitude. It's very proper. Thanks is very proper. Thank you. Appreciate it. And then there is a negative definition, like when you hold somebody responsible. You know, you say to somebody, "Thanks to you, I didn't get the job." That's another form of giving thanks. Yeah. Thanks to you. She married you instead of me. In other words, you thank people for failure. That's another form of giving thanks. Rejoice has no negative side. Gravel, when you rejoice, you just, it's the kind of thanks you cannot suppress. See, I'm convinced that in these last days, to get through, Shirley, the stuff they talking about going to happen to us, you're going to need to be able to do more than thanks. You're going to have to be able to really come out of yourself and your present situation and just praise the Lord loudly and freely, because rejoicing in most cases makes no sense. In fact, when you read the New Testament, the word rejoice is always connected with situations that a person ought not to be rejoicing. You'll see that in a few minutes as we develop this in the Scriptures. The word rejoice is to be happy, glad, delighted, full of joy beyond control. That's what Webster says. Webster says that rejoicing, you lose control. See, that's why there's not much rejoicing in church. Because somewhere somebody got the idea that church was quiet. Quiet. In fact, most people think rejoicing is irreverent, which means that heaven is constantly irreverent. Because Ellen White says, you know the old lady, yeah. Ellen White says, that sister says, heaven is full of constant rejoicing. Most irreverent group in the world is the angels. But there's something about, so we come to church to be with God. For the angels, there's something about being around God, feeling his effulgent glory, his mightiness, his light. They just cannot hold it down, America. So all the time, every now and then, angels just shout. We have this idea in church. Excuse me. We would bore the angels to death. Because, Rick, when they get close to God and they feel the warmth of his energizing power and they recognize that everything they are comes from God, they just cannot keep silent and they start singing. Angels sing all the time. By the way, I've heard we're going to heaven. Have you heard that? There's a rumor out court that we're going to heaven. Where they somebody say hallelujah. We're trying to get you warmed up for glory. So rejoicing is to lose control. I know y'all. Some of y'all having trouble with this sermon because you're not. I know how you grew up. I can remember visiting a particular church. Won't name it because they might be looking in. Particular church. I was a young man. Great big church. Lots of people. Everything was just. It was a Seventh-day Adventist church. Quiet. Well, I grew up in a little country church. Well, we every now and then we actually got loud in church. And so I'm sitting there, just moved in, didn't know the rules. So Rita, the man was preaching. I mean, you know, he was giving the word, and I was enjoying it. And I said with my heavy voice, amen. It was like I was in a Grand Canyon all by myself. My amen reverberated from the walls. I suddenly felt like every eye was on me. And the fellow next to me. When you get through a week, you know, the world's insane. You get through a week, all them almost accidents. Come on, somebody. All them people. And some of us, you don't want to say it, but some of us work with some people that ain't got no sense at all. No sense at all. They sit in the booth right next to you, chatting all the time, smoking and stuff, and always playing. And you finally get to church, and then your family, your fellow sisters, she's getting ready to rejoice. You got a hand up. You're ready to rejoice. Finally get to church, and your kids are driven you. By the time you get here, you ought to be so filled up. Hallelujah! But somewhere along the way, we got the idea. And we've not learned that rejoicing is a way of serving the Lord. The word thanks, or one of its other forms, thanksgiving, appears in the Bible 140 times. Now, this blew my mind, Carol, and this is my dear wife. I said, well, if rejoice is in the Bible 140 times, I mean, if thanks is in the Bible 140 times, how many times does rejoice in the Bible? Rejoice is in the Bible three times as many times as thanks. So the Bible, I study y'all. The Bible is more into rejoicing than thanking. In the Bible, they rejoice three times as much as they give thanks. Somebody say amen. Amen. So real church. This is rough on some people. Real church is rejoicing. In fact, Philippians, it's a simple sermon today. Philippians says, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And then in case you didn't get it, it says, and again I say, rejoice. Paul said they didn't get it the first time. Let me say it one more time. Rejoice. So it's fitting in this season that we especially ascribe to God our thanks for his blessings, the food, the shelter, the job, the health, the family, kept alive and so on. It's fitting. The Bible does say, Psalm 107:1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. But there's something a bit better than that. What's better than thanks? Talk to me. What's better than thanks? Now, rejoice is based on the word joy. Joy means a very glad feeling, hard to suppress. Now, I'm just reading the dictionary, y'all. You can read this stuff for yourself. See, thanks is very proper. Appreciation. Thank you. Appreciate it. But when you decide to rejoice, I'm going to say it again, folks, you got to get loose. And I have told you that they do more rejoicing in the Bible than thanks. And I've told you that in heaven, angels do what? Here's the reason why rejoicing is so powerful. Go to 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. Not going to talk long, just stay with me. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's get a more of a biblical view of this concept of rejoicing. 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Though some strange thing happened to you. Now look what the next verse says. But do what? Didn't say give thanks. When the fiery trials come, what are you supposed to do? So you've been giving yourself credit because you said, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bible says that's not enough. You're more of a witness, Charlene, when the fiery trial comes, it's hard to thank you, Lord. Lord said, take it another step up. Rejoice. Then folks look at you. What? You mean you just been diagnosed with cancer? Yes. And what are you doing? Thank you, Lord. Look at the strange look on your face. No, I didn't do it either when I was diagnosed. This sermon's for me. See, we think we're doing God some favor to say thanks. The Bible is saying real Christians do not confine their praise to situations. Real Christians don't have degrees of gratefulness. Real Christians, no matter how bad it is, they leap over the wall of thanks. They go to another level and they blow the mind of the world by saying, hallelujah, praise God. You know what it does, Brody? It drives the devil crazy. Every now and then I come through. I'm going in this sermon. Trying to get there. But every now and then, see, if you get to know me, see, I love my automobiles. Love my cars. Don't scratch my car. My car's in the parking lot out there. You by sitting beside, open that door carefully. Don't put a nick in my car. And I'm backing out of my own driveway. My own driveway in my Acura. You know, sometimes you do things that make you feel just so dumb. And you ask yourself, why did I get up this morning? Why didn't I stay in bed all day? Backing out of my own garage. My truck is sitting here, backing out in my Acura. My truck is there. It's been there. I backed into my own truck. Now, Brother William is laughing at me, y'all. Pray for that man over there. He fell over, as soon as I said, he fell over laughing in that pew. Well, first of all, how are you going to explain to Carol? There's a dip in your car, and you put it there. You're not going to discuss the dent in the truck, because that's two insurance bills right there. So it backed out, but you know, every now and then the Lord comes down on you when you need to come down on you. And I realized in that moment, for Luna, what the devil was trying to do. He was trying to take my joy and take my spirit. And folk, I'm not making this up. I got out of that car. I looked at the dent in Accra. Truck wasn't bothered at all. Looked at the dent in Accra. I fixed the devil. I said, yes, sir. Just like that. Now, I was hurting inside. But I knew. No, I was hurting inside. See, I'm telling you, you can't lie when you preach. You got to tell the truth. And I said, I'm just not going to let this thing get to me. So, Brother Edinburgh, pastor said, yes, sir. Ha! So I said, yeah. And I walked on away from the car, looked back, said to the devil, mm-hmm, yes, sir. Now, that's a pivotal example. What I'm saying is, at least I shut him up. Every now and then, you ought to let the devil know he does not have your spirit. God has your spirit. And so, he says, fire trials come. What are you supposed to do? Now, he takes it further. He says, to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. It's the same Greek word, by the way, for rejoice. See, God wants more. It's Christians can't just say thanks. We have an unusual appreciation. We have something that goes beyond common sense. Even in trial, we have, I just read it, exceeding joy. Then he says in verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. The spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. That is, as you rejoice, you shame the wicked. Give glory to God. Romans 8:36. This is simple stuff, y'all. Nothing deep about this. But then there's something to think about. We may not be quite there yet. Romans 8, verse 36. For your sake we are killed. How long? We are counted as what? So what the Bible is saying is, it is normal for a Christian to be in situations where it would be difficult to even say thanks. That's normal. If you're a Christian and you got problems, you're a normal Christian. That wasn't an amen. Y'all said, no. That's the life. Remember, we are partakers of his suffering. So listen to me now. I'm going to take you somewhere. If it's normal for Christians to have problems, then we can't wait till we feel good to rejoice. Did you follow that?
Yes.
You got to go on and rejoice when it doesn't make sense. And in that way we serve him. Shock people. Joy and rejoicing is a step just beyond saying thanks to God. It's an act of trust. I will thank him, yes, but I will rejoice because I know God. Giving thanks even in tough times is good. But when I rejoice, I'm expressing a deep trust and saying something to the onlooker that leaves them speechless. That's why I had the little, oh, bless him. He read that scripture, y'all. Did y'all see him read that scripture? Stood up on that little podium. Let's go read what he read. Acts 5:41. Acts 5:41. Whoa, I just wanted to kiss it. Up there reading that Bible. Quoted it. Better than the pastor. I haven't memorized this text. Lord have mercy. Acts 5:41. So they departed from the presence of the council doing what? Why? See, it's a whole new concept, y'all. They're rejoicing because they had the privilege of having a rough time. And when you read the whole chapter, I don't have time to go through it. Read the whole chapter. It's a situation where they've been beat. They've been lied upon. They were told not to preach and went back to preaching. Took them in and beat them. They beat them. Their backs are bloody. They're sore. They're embarrassed. They're stripped. And they are rejoicing. Thank God. Hallelujah. Ain't got no money for rent. Praise his name. Because now, watch now. Now you're in a situation where you and others can see what God can do. See, the Lord needs this rare person with a mentality. See, you got to have a different mentality, young lady, than the normal person. Now you're saying, you mean to tell me I ain't got no money? Ain't got no money. And the bills, I got bills are coming. Hallelujah. You know that's a different mentality, don't you? Because now, when the money comes, you can't take no credit. Hey, come on now. Because you didn't have no money. Didn't have a dime. Money shows up. That's my dad. That's my dad praying. Got his four boys gathered around him praying, and money's low, and we haven't worshiped. There's no groceries, no groceries. Dad is praying and asking God to come through, and when we get done praying, hear the car drive up while we're praying, and we hear footsteps leave and get back in the car while we're praying. Go out on the porch. Well, on the porch, y'all, and the porch is full of grocery bags. Somebody say amen. Amen. And my father with his phlegmatic self, cool and calm as a cucumber. But I saw my dad rejoice. He got happy in the house. We said, what? Their backs are bloody and beaten. And they're thanking God for the privilege of suffering with him. 1 Peter 2, verse 20. 1 Peter, you better write these texts down. 1 Peter 2 and verse 20. Look at this. For what credit is it? Look at this. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? Now, you see what this text is saying? If you're catching Hades, if I'd have said the other word, you'd have said I was cursing in church. If you're catching Hades for dumb stuff you've done, Peter said, we don't hear nothing you got to say. We want to hear from you. Look at it. You take it. But when you do good, and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. That is, when you are doing right, when you're doing right and you're still not having all the blessings you would desire, you're doing right and things go wrong and you rejoice. Now, Peter says, that is significant. Now, we said that thanks has a negative side. The negative definition is to hold one responsible. See, God does not mind you when trouble comes holding him responsible. You don't mind. Here's why he doesn't mind. Because of 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no problem come to you, but those common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to have a problem bigger than you can handle. So if the problem is there, it's your size. So he says, I don't mind you holding me responsible for something that's your size. So if you want to say to God, thanks to you, I ain't got no money. He says, okay, I'll take responsibility for that. Because I know you can handle not having any money. Are you with me? God didn't mind you thanking him for failure. You courted her and you courted her and you courted her. She was just what you wanted. Courted her and courted her. And she went someplace else. Married somebody else. You better thank God. God knows some things you don't know. Praise his name. Did you marry somebody else? Go to the wedding. Bless you, my brother. God bless you. He doesn't send you. He doesn't send you what you can't handle. Can I get a witness out there? So God doesn't hold him responsible. If trouble, hold him responsible. Because he only permits that saves. You married a nut, he leaves you, runs off, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his. Don't be crying and boo-hooing. The Lord lets him get away. The Lord took him away. Go to the altar. Raise both hands up before heaven. Hallelujah! Am I making sense to you? I'm purposely making you smile about it. What I'm trying to get you to see is the Lord doesn't mind the negative side of thanks. If you want to say thanks to you, I ain't got no job. Because I ain't going in on Sabbath, thanks to you. Lost my job because I said thanks to you. Or says, yeah, I'll take it. I don't want you working on the Sabbath. Silver and gold are mine. On the cattle in a thousand hills. I can make a way where there's no way. Fix bread when there's no dough. Send rain where there's no water. I can do anything. Go on and give me credit for it. That's the God that I serve. So hold him responsible. Hebrews 12, verse 6. Let's wind this up. You stand up here and talk about this all afternoon. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. Look at this. Look at this. Serve him by rejoicing. For whom the Lord loves. See, you didn't even want to read it. Come on, let's read it together. Come on, you didn't want to read it. Let's read it together. Whom the Lord loves. Yeah. Kevin Edinburgh was telling me about his challenge there in that medical school. They work in his brain, work in the young man's brain. He said, Pastor, it's all right. I'm going to get through. The Lord loves you. When them exams get tough, Kevin, he loves you. He's loving you more. When them questions ain't got make no sense in them doctors, he's loving you. Thank him. Whom the Lord loves, he does what? Spanks. You know what the word chasing means. Just say spanks. Whom the Lord loves, he hits. Isn't that something? What kind of text is that, sis? What I'm trying to get you to see today is that rejoicing is something you're going to have to learn in these last days. You're going to have a breakthrough, Jack, a breakthrough, Melanie, where you just say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to just sit quiet. I'm going to give you praise and scourges. Every son or daughter whom he receives. So if you become a Christian, the spanking is in the package. Verse 11. Now, no chastening, no spanking. Seems to be joyful. Joyful. See, that's that rejoicing word. Joyful. No spanking. Chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, this is the reason why the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven is shout. When you realize, Rodney, that you are actually there, streets are gold. Look at that. See myself in them streets. Yeah, bend down. Kind of make my wings kind of, you know, hold them straight. So I can fly anywhere I want to go now. Yeah. Robe is glistening. Back, looking back at them in them golden streets. Walk by the pearly gates, I can see myself. Ain't got a mole on my face. Hair don't need no care. The new ladies know what I'm talking about. Think about it. You ain't never going to have to fix your hair again, Charlene. Pretty hair. Think about it. Think about it. All this blank spot up there. Filled in. Hey! Knees working. We come to the altar sometimes in the morning, Sabbath morning. Brother says, kneel. I'm saying, my mind is saying, don't say kneel. But I don't want y'all to know that my knees hurt, so I go on and kneel. Lord, help me get up. Make a fool out of me when I get done praying. Don't want to be down here for the rest of the day because my knees won't work. But now up there in glory, I'm going to realize I've been set free and something's going to start down in my bosom. Not going to be able to hold it down. All of a sudden, Henry Wright, cool, calm, and collected, Henry Wright is going to lose it and rejoice. Yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. When you rejoice, you actually serve the Lord. Jesus loses his mind on this stuff. Look at Matthew 5, my last text. I got several more, but this will do. Matthew 5. Well, now the words of Jesus leave me speechless. This is Jesus, Rick. This is your Savior. He's talking. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed. The Greek word for happy. Happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, that's what we found there in Matthew and Acts 5:41. For theirs is what? Verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 13. What's verse 12? What's the first word in verse 12?
Rejoice.
And then what does it say? The Greek says, lose it. Greek says, lose it. When they're talking about you in church, just look, hallelujah. I don't know the number of times that people in church have come to me and said, Pastor, they talk about me, ruining my reputation. I know they've never read Matthew 5. Because it says when they say stuff against you that's false, do what?
Rejoice.
Come on, y'all, do what?
Rejoice.
Hey! Rejoicing is not stupid. It's stubborn. And one of the things that's going to allow the church of God, we're going to do that, whatever, here, come on. One of the things that's going to make the church of God so powerful in the last days. I look at you, you're so precious to me. We're going to be people, you know, sometimes limping, dragging a leg, you know, maybe I half cocked, you know, no money, driving old cars. Full of rejoicing, we will defy common sense. Because we know something that the rest of the world doesn't know. We know we're going to heaven. Rejoice. and be exceeding glad. Somebody say that with me. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Now, I know you're saying, come on. Give it a try. One more time. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Yes. Yes, sir. Now, the devil's going, you heard this sermon today. The devil's going to test you on the way home. I know he's going to test me. Nothing irritates me more than somebody cutting in front of me. I do not rejoice. He's going to catch you off guard before the day is over. The kids. Lord, save us from our children. But before the day is over, the sun sets, God wants you to rejoice. Pray. Say, after this sermon, pray that your spouse has a good afternoon. Because there's no, none of y'all sitting there laughing, there's nobody that can get you like your spouse. You know it. Come on now. Just the tone of voice. You want to say, where's that coming from? No. Rejoice! Can I get a witness here? I shall learn to rejoice. Bow your head. Song says, how can I say thanks? How do I get it out when it's just not working right? How do I find the strength? Here I am, 11, 28, 15. The year's almost gone. Trying days ahead, love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth till the end, the same shall be saved. That's the crowd I'm working on. Want to be in that number, Lord. Want to be in that number. Tears of joy that God loves me enough to test me, loves me enough to grow me, loves me enough to try me. Like the apostles with my back bleeding, thank you, Lord, it's a privilege to walk where you walked. I'm not there yet, Lord. I'm trying to get there. So I'm praying for everybody. We can sit in church and say amen to a sermon like this. The fact is, this is hard. This is a hard sermon to live. It's a hard sermon to live. It's more challenging than keeping the Sabbath day holy. Because this touches every fiber of my life. Up and down, back and forth, going to work, staying home with people. Every moment of my life is challenged by this doctrine of rejoicing.
Say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me, and the voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee, to God be the glory. Things he has done. has saved me.
In His glory.
With His power, He has raised me to God. Be the glory for the things He has done.
Just hold on, Barbara. We're going to sing that chorus again. I want you to remember this sentence. If you forget every sentence in the sermon, remember this sentence. When God sends you a problem, He's loving you just as much as when He sends you a solution. Both are acts of love. Now sing that song. Sing that chorus. To God be the glory. Everybody, everybody, everybody. Stand on your feet now as you sing. Come on.
To God be the glory.
Everybody, everybody.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
Yeah, yeah.
With His blood, He has saved me. With His power, He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
Somebody shout His name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father in heaven, we've got to serve You by rejoicing. We got to be happy when we're sad. Joy filled when we're problem filled. We're getting there. We ain't there yet, but we're getting there. We're learning to see through our trials and our problems. Serving by rejoicing. Help me, Lord. I have to make the prayer personal now. Help me. Help me. Help me to see Your hand in everything. And allow me to give You permission. Help me to give You permission. Help me to give You permission to treat me the way I needed to be treated so that I can be saved. I'm still arguing with You sometimes. I'm not there. Not there. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Is it possible today that somebody wants to just give themselves to Jesus? You want to come down here to the front for Bible study, baptism, transfer? You want to do it today as a way of rejoicing in the goodness of God that He's brought you here. Well, Pastor, don't you have those cards? Well, you know, I need everybody praying. I need everybody praying. Let's just see if somebody will just come down. Bible study, baptism, transfer. Just pray. Take a minute and pray. Nobody comes, it's all right. Let's just pray. Let's just see. This way. Anybody want to come? Thank you, Holy Jesus. Thank you, Holy Jesus. I pray that the joy in our hearts will from time to time come out an uncontrollable expression of appreciation to God. We will serve you for our rejoicing. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Are you glad you came to church today?